All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm Mint Sauce Chronicles podcast. And this is episode 189, 189 episodes. I've had to put up with this freakazoid for 189 times, 2 hours plus. I'm still here.
Yeah, I know who gets worst of it. It's not you.
Format is simple. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members. That's it, members. We do have some members. Get full podcast plus download, and non-members get part one, or first hour. All shows are released on Saturdays, but please subscribe to the website, and you'll get an email telling you that we've got a show release. But even if you don't, they're always released on Saturdays. Just go to sheepfarm.co.uk. But we also put part one on Podomatic, that send them out to Shopify, Amazon, Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify. I said that already, but there you go. Also, part one go on Odyssey and Rumble as well. And all the videos I've ever put on, or most of them I've ever put on, are on Odyssey as well, way back from 2021, I think, or 2020, something like that. There's quite a lot on there. All the Matrix ones get backed up. For some reason, the ones that are an hour long don't go on there for some reason. I don't know why, but anyway, they don't. But all the other ones are on there. So people keep emailing me, where are the Matrix ones? And I keep saying, they're on Odyssey. Sheep Farm Studios on Odyssey. Thanks for the comments, apart from that one that let the cat out of the bag and revealed that we're both Masons.
When was that? What, which one is that?
I don't know, the other day.
Apparently was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Where was it, on YouTube?
It's on YouTube somewhere. I just put a love heart outside of it and said thank you very much. Oh, Masons. I like being a Mason, don't you?
Yeah, don't have to do anything.
don't do anything, no. No.
I don't even know one.
No, I don't even know one, but I like being one. Everybody's
fair,
a Mason.
To be fair, everyone who listens, and including us, we're all slightly paranoid, so fair enough, whatever.
Well, I've got my Big Shill mic. We're on this platform.
I've got my Big Shill mic.
Have you got your Big Shill mic? Bajowski had his Big Shill mic, but he didn't have it turned on the other day. If you're listening, Mark, next time. You spent a lot of money on that microphone. You didn't use it.
He loves bollocking people about the microphones, Mark. So it's
not a bollocking. I'm not angry.
I don't mean you were sensitive. I don't mean angry. Yeah, but if I say your mic sounds funny, you go, yeah, yours does as well.
No, no. I'm quite keen to know if mine does. Being from a sort of like a, you know, like working in studios and stuff like that, you want to know if the equipment's not right. You don't want to record some nonsense, do you? Yeah, so we are Masons. Join us on Instagram. My lovely assistant here with the large nostrils and goat lips. He looks after the Instagram account. He actually does something. Go on.
We've got 1,000. You know, I keep saying we're shadow banned. I did believe it existed, but I didn't think it'd go to our Instagram. But I looked today when I got in from work, and we're on 1,031. But we're on 1,029. But we've got about 5 new followers. But it's still on 1,030.
Yeah.
And then it goes down to like 1,020. It's so weird. Yeah. Because the thing is, right, although we're on Instagram, I'd post them at maybe once every 2 weeks or every week. Not a lot. I chat to people on there quite a lot. So unless I was barraging people with posts and it were annoying them, they've got no reason to back out, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
It didn't make any sense. And the number keeps going down. It's like somebody somewhere didn't want it to get to 1,030.
Instagram are owned by Facebook. It's a CIA operation. Say no more.
Isn't it interesting, though? 1,000, well, since it went over 1,000, and then when it gets up to 30, it drops again, then goes up to 30, then drops again. Mm. It's quite funny to watch.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to talk about that in a sec. Social media and data collection and stuff like that. Thanks for everybody who orders my supplements. There's three new products going out. People have been emailing, asking when they're going to be in. Hopefully this week. Vitamin D3. It's a complex, actually. There's more than just D3 in it. So hopefully you won't just have to take multiple D3. One will be enough because it aids absorption. And another product, it's called Defense, that one, D3 Fence. Like that one. Magsorb as well. So I've got another magnesium product going on there that aids magnesium absorption. It's got boron and a few other things that help the absorption. And a zinc immune one. And there's a few other products coming out over the next month as well. So remember to use the promo code, the discount code that's in the description.
What is it?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but it's HB-SF25OFF.
Why did you say Sheep Farm 25?
Because I use it for my Elf Bunker customers as well.
All right.
When my Elf Bunker customers get the same, yeah. So, yeah, anybody outside this little circle of masonry doesn't get any discount.
Right.
It's a big club. They're not in it.
It's a little shit club, but no one's in it.
Yeah, it's a little poxy club and nobody's in it, yeah. We're going to talk about Richard D. Hall and his trial in a moment as well, but I've left the donate information in there as well if you want to donate to his trial fund. It's sad because he's had to go through all that, but it's very interesting as well. So before we crack on, have you got a bottle of witch piss?
Yeah, I've got a bottle of Mad Fish Shiraz.
Never heard that one.
Australian. Nice.
Right. You don't come of the sheep farm wine?
And I forgot about it. No, I emailed the guy, asked if he wanted to make some sheep farm wine in Spain. I emailed him and you just reminded me. He didn't get back to me.
Right. I bet you couldn't sleep that night, could you?
Well, it'd be an exciting prospect. I don't know how you'd do it, though.
No, I don't either.
Anyway, if it happens, it happens. I should keep everyone informed.
Yeah. I've just been to a funeral today. I mentioned a few weeks ago that a friend of his dad, he passed away. And he was a great guy, great sense of humour. In fact, I think we got a lot of our humour from people like that character, especially my abusive side of my humour, that Chris is highly sensitive, obviously. I think I got that because when you call people names, there's nothing actually in it because then he called his names constantly, didn't he? Normally a C-U-N-T.
Put it this way, when our dad died, I hadn't seen him for quite a long years. And I think first thing he called me was a stupid C-U-N-T.
Yeah. Ironically, somebody came up to me at the funeral and said, I love Mick. Every time I met up with him, he said, you're a C-U-N-T. So, and I was talking to his son and his son said, yeah, I'm going to miss the C-U-N-T. Yeah, what a guy. I mean, what reason I brought that up is not so you can listen to our tales of war, but his dad died in 2020. And four or five of his mates now have all gone. All of them, three dart finished. And that's, I'm not casting aspersions there. People were drawn into it. I remember saying to him, don't do it. I remember saying it to him. But what can you do? You can't, I don't know. His brother told him as well. His brother told him not to do it.
Right.
His brother were, I saw his brother today. I've never seen him before, or I can't remember seeing him. Spitting image, Chris. Honestly, I thought it was him.
I've never seen him.
Yeah, no. Anyway, but a famous cricketer passed away this week as well. Graham Thorpe, 55-year-old.
Bloody hell.
He became ill in 2022. Oh, happening in 2022, Chris? You can remember?
I can't imagine.
He was a professional cricket coach that had to travel the world. What went on there?
Yeah, but cricketers aren't that fit, are they? Really? Not compared to me.
No. Yeah.
Drinks a bottle of wine every night. Cycles twice a week. Now these people are fit people. While we're on that subject, actually, I've never done this before. All the guys at work talk about football, and I joke and I'll say, you know, we need to concentrate on this year, otherwise next year, etc. And I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But I actually asked one of my mates at work, and I thought, I'm going to ask him, because, you know, he's a reasonable person. And I said, you watch a lot of sport. I've asked two people now, actually, at work. One young lad and one lad older than me. I like the pair of them. But what I found interesting was, when I asked the older fella I work with, I don't mind if I could say his name, Alan, but I said, have you noticed, you watch a lot of sport, have you noticed a lot of sports players dropping of late? And he said, yeah, loads, yeah. And I said, what do you think it is? And he said, I don't know. Is it exhaustion? He said a few things. And I went, the only thing that's changed in the last 4 years, he actually said, there's been a lot in the last 4 years. That's what he said. And I said, well, what's changed in the last 4 years? I don't know. And he said, I don't know. I said, well, they all got tapioca, didn't they? But so they could travel. I didn't say that, but. And he went, oh, yeah. And he actually, what shocked me was how surprised he was. He hadn't put that into the equation. And then I asked the young lad the next day at work, and he had the same reaction. And he went, oh, yeah. But then he didn't seem that interested or concerned. They all think I'm nuts anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I just found it interesting that they'd never equated. These people watch sport like we all the time. You know what I mean? They talk about it all the time.
Like I used to do.
Like you used to do, yeah. Like most blokes do, to be fair. Mm. But they talk about it all the time. So they've seen it, but they did not equate it. Didn't even equate it to COVID. They equated it to loads of other things without even mentioning it. What I'm trying to say is, I kind of thought that maybe they were in denial, but I saw the surprise on the face when I said it. Which maybe is some kind of subconscious denial. I don't know.
Well, I would say it's a subconscious denial or some kind of denial. But I mean, it's strange, you know, when I went through my process of realizing everything was just a scam, even though I'm really into sport, you know, or into most sport, right? It wasn't difficult to leave it behind, sport.
Hmm.
I didn't find it that difficult to say, you know what, it is a scam. And the sad thing is that most sport is actually useful to people. There's a lot of common denominators in life in most sports, like cricket and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's spoilt by virtue signaling, professional sports anyway, virtue signaling, all the stuff that we talk about, it's just, whatever enjoyment were there, now there's no enjoyment there. It was so simple before. You went to watch a game.
Yeah.
Now it's they've got to get down on one knee, or they've got to wear a rainbow badge on their arm. Even commentators like Matt Letizia were talking that he wouldn't wear this badge, and basically we're getting a bollocking for not wearing a badge. I don't know what badge it was, but we're racist.
They've agenderized and like politicized it, haven't they?
Yeah, and you know, everything that my wife said the other day, why can't they just leave us alone? You know, I forget what we're talking about, but it were like, and she's right, the system just pecks at you constantly, pecks at you, doesn't it? You can't just leave you alone. You can't just let you get on with your life, can it? There's got to be always some orchestrated events going on, and sport is one of them.
Because it's a satanic control agenda, fan.
Yes, 100%, as we find it out.
I did see an interesting article on this subject, actually, and it was, I forgot to tell you this, it was where in Cambridge, the biggest rise in long-term sickness in 16 to 64-year-olds.
Right. 16 to 64?
Yeah.
Chuffing, that's a wide...
it's working.
No, but that's good. No, it's not good, but what I mean is that's not like, well, from 60 to 70, is it? That's like basically your whole life.
Well, that's basic working age, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I didn't write down where I got this from. I got it from an article. In 16 to 64-year-olds, in 2019 to 2020, it was 1.5% of people were off work with long-term illness. And now here it's 6%, 2023-24. The highest one was in Blackpool, which was the highest one was 16% of people are off with long term illness,
right.
And that's 12,900 people out of 80,000.
That sort of backs up Ed Dowd's stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly why I wrote it down. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is, as well, if these people who watch sport constantly don't notice it in sport and put two and two together, how are they going to notice with that comment you made about our friend who died and five other people my dad knew?
Well, they're not, are they?
And this kind of starts. And, it, you know, and hearing people go, everyone just seems ill and dying. I must have mentioned before, I had one of my mates saying, he wasn't even talking to me. He said, I'm going to have to buy a black suit. I'm going to so many funerals. You know, these little comments like this that... We're hanging on about COVID again, aren't we?
Well, no, it's important.
It is important.
Somebody sent an email in, and I forgot the name of the chap. And I mentioned it to you, didn't I? That they said that on their little road, there's something like 5 houses.
Yeah.
And every house, apart from his, had somebody in it that had died or had colon cancer or some sort of cancer since 2022. That's 5 houses in the village, right? On a small lane. And
well, I still look at this stuff all the time because I think it's the biggest thing that's ever happened.
Even last week, one of Young'un's mates at school, we had to look after him because his old boy were going for some tests because he's got some, anyway, he's 50 year old. What do you say? I don't know what to say anymore. Our worst nightmare is coming true.
Yeah. But cleverly, in you can't pin it to that, can you?
No, you can.
If you can be bothered to go through all the stats and everything. But what I mean is, it's been done and kept out of the media, so people don't pin it or.
Well, like our dad's mates, right? They're all between 70 and 80s, let's just say. I think Mick were in his early 73, something like that. His dad were 82. So they're all in that type of age group that nobody would question it. Mm. Yeah, but when you get down to 50s and 40s and stuff like that, all of a sudden, it's and people are off work with sick or mental illness or whatever it is, it's not anymore, is it? I mean, we think it's our gut feeling that knew in 2020 that it were all wrong, but it wasn't gut feeling, that were it.
No,
it, what I'm trying to say, it weren't something ambiguous that you just guessed on.
No,
we knew.
Yeah.
And that's why when people like, say, Dom Jolly or Slanders or Mariana Spring and people like that are coming after people.
Calling them dangerous.
They don't want people like that. And also, I mean, we'll talk about them in a minute, but they want everybody clumped together, like this nonsense that's happening with these idiots throwing half Charlies through windows and stuff like that at the minute, setting fire to stuff. They're now conspiracy. It says far right conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't agree with any of them, so I'm not one of them.
No, I'm not. No.
That's not how it should be done.
No.
Anyway, we'll come to that. Okay, let's move on before we talk about, start getting wound up. We'll talk about some other stuff that wind us up instead.
Just before you finish it, though, all this stuff, I think all this stuff is distraction from what they've done.
100%. We'll discuss that. Don't worry. Yeah. It's distraction and...
And moving culture the
changing,
forward.
Culture changing. Yeah. We did a podcast with Mark last week, Life Synchronicities. I think we're already geared up to do a second one. I think it's going to be something like the site called The Signs or something like that, we're going to call it, in a few weeks. Because we've got quite a lot of emails. If you want emails in your stories and stuff like that, info@sheepfound.co.uk, email the stories and put on it at the title, Synchronicities. If you don't put that, you might get missed. Don't put it in YouTube. You can put it in Instagram if you want. Chris will save them on Instagram, but same thing, put synchronicities on it, because we'll start stacking these up and start talking about them.
You said after we finished that, you said, why didn't you tell more stories? But I didn't want to bore everyone with all my boring stories. So I've got hundreds from when I was a kid. I used to have loads of these things. But I've got them in diaries upstairs in the attic somewhere.
Yeah, but I think over time, just talk about a few of them every time we come on.
You
don't have to say, right, this 1 to 200 and, like you say, bore people to death. Yeah. But what we'll have is now, we'll have people steadily emailing in, and then we'll go
through. That's what I find most interesting about a lot of them. Unlike that one of your nipper ad. I'll say nipper is taller than me. But a lot of them are just mundane pointlessness. And I think that is the point. I think sometimes it's just to prove these... that there's something else there. Look more into things.
Or it means that we haven't quite understood what it is, because that means something else in that other. Interestingly, when I went to this funeral today, they're all in Dewsbury, and they were like Irish. They're Irish background, aren't they? And
I didn't know that.
They're Roman Catholic. And so it was a Roman Catholic church. When I went into churches, I'm not really. But the priest was... he was talking about the afterlife, and he said, look, it could be, we think it's this, but it could be anything. Because he knew there were a lot of people with different faiths or people who didn't have that type of faith. And what he said, we could have said, honestly. It was very interesting listening to when he was talking about that part. All the other stuff but blurred into insignificance to me, but that was really relevant.
I usually quite like a priest talk, to be fair. I mean, generally, a lot of them are just nice people who want to, you know.
But do you know what he said? He said, what other purpose are we here for?
These are religious questions. I told you before, I've spoken to religious people, and by how we talk, we sound more religious than they do. A lot of them are actually that interested in the actual religion, which is fair enough as well. I think a lot of people just want to be in a club, don't they, of some kind.
But this synchronicity series that's turning into a series will, I don't know, I think it'll bring some decent stuff out and take us down some roads. It's just another angle to go down. However many we do. I'm not saying we're going to do one every week or one every month. It'll just be every now and again we'll do one. You've been watching Dune 2.
Well, no.
I won't say how I'll do in Yorkshire. Dune 2.
That's Dune 2.
Dune 2. That's J-U-N-E. Yeah. Dune.
It's not as bad as Dunes. When you say, what's it called? It? Compartmentalised.
Compartmentalized.
No, watch Dune 2 because I like the book. I read the book when I was a kid. I read it twice, I think. And I liked the first film as well. I thought the first film was cracking. I think you watched it, didn't you?
I've watched it two or three times. It was that good.
Even you liked it. But I watched the second one and I don't know. It just didn't do it. Like, it was still good. Don't get me wrong. But it didn't do what the first one did. Mm. And even though it's quite prophesizing in the book itself, I don't know, I felt like I was being programmed again. You know, I felt like it had a lot of programming. I hadn't looked at these notes, but I wrote them down. What's interesting about it is the main story through the first one, although it didn't go on about it like it does in the second one, is the Jesuits and the bloodlines, isn't it? The Bene Gesserits are calling that, which is the Jesuits. And they've traced the bloodlines for thousands of years, and they're basically maneuvering. And I thought it must be a good reflection into how the system runs. In also the fact, all the families, even though they're all warring against each other, have all got a Bene Gesserit in their family. They've all got one of those witches, haven't they?
Yeah.
And the Jesuits wipe out the bloodlines and start again and then do it again. But they're not on anyone's side. They're on the Jesuit side, which is like the priest Jesuits in Catholic Church, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
They're in every culture. And they're it's accepted by all the leaders that they are allowed to be in each culture. I just thought it was interesting.
Considering that the Jesuits probably run the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
say. Certainly, I hope that. I mean, the irony is, right, everyone goes on about, say, I won't say Jewish people, but the Zionists, let's say. But there's got to be more to it than just that. I don't believe it's just Zionists that run the world.
No.
And behind it, obviously, at the side of it, there's the Jesuits, Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican. I mean,
I think it's showing and that. I think it's showing you, a brief look into how the rulers run the world. I think it's you've got all these families that are ancient, and we've talked about this before. They're fighting with each other, but then there's one ruling class over the lot of them. And then within all those families, they've all got these Jesuit witches that control the future like hundreds and hundreds of years ahead, not even thinking about their lifetime. I mean, doesn't that sound like what we're in?
Yeah, when you see what's going on at the moment, even in America with the silly politics, it is like Trading Places, isn't it, where you've got two different groups vying for some sort of power, even though they're not. I'm not saying Trump's got power or Robo Biden, but they're vying for this type of control over something. And there'll be several groups around the world that do that. A bit like corporate. Probably hide behind corporate companies.
Well, they're both.
Or religions.
All the families are after the spice, aren't they?
Yes.
But they get along, even though they dislike each other and betray each other. I mean, like Games of Thrones-esque or everything that's to do with royals, you know, bloodlines and marrying to this family. It's got all that stuff in it. And you have to think that is how the real world is run, just on a slight, you know, they run on their own rules. The rule is they can't tell us how it's run.
Yes.
But between these families, they can tell each other how it's run.
Which is why they don't like us digging around, scratching around, lifting rocks up, putting light on stuff. That's why they've got to have a full team of people to try and demoralise and destroy people putting information out.
Another thing I noticed in that film was the body recycling thing, where they recycle the dead bodies into water, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that was written ages ago. Another thing I noticed in it was, which I didn't notice, I don't remember from the book, where they find they call it the atomic arsenal, the family's atomic arsenal. So it's selling you the red button mythos all over again. No. just a cue.
You're reading this voice of doom stuff, aren't you? World War III is going to start.
World War III, nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
Duck and cover. there's a quote in it. Everything points to the escalation of war. Again, it's selling...
Selling the fear factor.
I think that's what I got from it. It was showing you. It was just reselling that fear factor as escalation to a massive war again, yeah. And that's where it ended as well. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of that. I tell you what, I did see the other day, and I forgot to tell you this. And it was an article. Did you know that this existed? Right, where people watch people eating.
People watch people eating.
The only reason I read an article, and if you don't think we're in hell, right, listen to this. Wait a minute.
Just repeat that. People watch people eating.
Yeah. Well, just let me tell you what I saw.
Okay.
Hang on. I read this article, right, and this woman had died. And I forgot what they call them. They have a name for them. She died because her stomach had burst, basically. Nice. Because she made these videos. I think they came out of Korea. And it's basically people... in front of a screen, stuff in the face, and people watch them. This woman, I think it said she'd eaten 10 kilos of food. They call them like binge marathons or something. And there's loads of them. They sit there and eat loads of...
Well, no, on YouTube they do, don't they? They do. There's like a thing where...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Lots of channels where they eat like 25 buckets of Kentucky or something ridiculous like
no,
that.
No, but I think some of them are a joke, but... And then this article said this woman had died, and then it said this other guy, he's like doubled his weight, like in the last year, so many years. But I mean, I don't know if anyone used to read 2000 AD. I used to read it when I was a kid, science fiction. No one was going to Judge Dredd in it, the comic. And in that, as a joke, it was a parody. In the future, these people existed in that comic as like these big fat people just ate all the time.
Feeders.
Yeah. Bro, someone died. Someone's stomach burst because they'd eaten.
But if you look at them pictures, like say from 60s or 70s, I remember looking at I think I sent them years ago to you. I pulled a crowd picture from World Cup in Mexico, 1970 World Cup, right? And then a crowd picture in America at an NFL game. And the difference in people sizes was astounding.
Mm.
There were hardly any people that were bald. There were hardly any people that were fat. That were 1970. I mean, I know he's talking 50 years ago, but imagine 50 years before that. And you look at the guys, say, that are in trenches in World War One, and they're all thin as lats.
Yeah.
Imagine recruiting now. They'd all be like that guy on, were it Platoon? A big fat guy.
Yeah. That went full metal jacket.
Full metal jacket.
You've gone off my screen fire.
You've gone off mine.
All right, doing it on purpose. It's just, yeah. I don't know. It's a vision into hell, isn't it? You know, I said this before. If you were in the 1950s and you saw TV and read the news stories now, you would think we were in hell.
Yeah.
Just the way, you know, Stan Smith pops up or whatever.
Stan Smith, not Stan.
whatever. He pops up and you just think, you know, if you saw. Bloody, I'm a Celebrity or whatever.
He's had a portrait done. I don't know.
It's in National Gallery, yeah.
That's it, National Gallery, yeah.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
You sent it to me, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam Smith, yeah, he's had a picture of him. I'm sure you can imagine what it looks like. But
yeah. I mean, is that really necessary? Banks has done a goat as well, in a black goat.
Is it really? I went to... Where was it I went when I was Margate? I went to Margate and they got... Did I mention this? They had a Turner Gallery there.
No, you didn't mention it, no.
And in there, we're only in there half an hour. I mean, lovely space. Like all you know, galleries are, aren't they? They're nice spaces, aren't they? But there was this one painting up, you know, exhibition of this guy's, and me and my son were there, me and my daughter, actually. We were looking around and there was a big blurb about him and I started to read it and Seb said, don't bother reading it. He basically just used a big brush and he's black. You know, he changed the concept of modern art. He used the big brush and he changed the concept because he did one in a circle. Anyway, there were that and then downstairs there were one and it were like three heads. It looked like one of my sculptures, three heads splitting apart. And I read the blurb under it and it said, this someone who ever painted it was transitioning from a man to a woman or vice versa. Oh, for fuck.
Did you just turn around and just leave then?
that were all the saw in there.
Couldn't you see the transition in the picture though, Chris?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, you could see the transition.
But we've talked about this before, and that's pure proof of it, isn't it? The gallery's just over agenda and pushing.
Yeah. There's another add-on. You know that Olympic story where that boxer, they said, was actually a girl? So this is how the story's changed, right? Mm. So the story initially was that this were a transvestite boxing that woman. She smacked her upside the head, and that woman retired from a fight because she'd never been smacked as hard in a boxing career. Then it came out that she were born a woman. Blah blah blah, but it's not actually the truth, that Chris.
Was it right? Go on.
We would have called them in the farming world a hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite. All right.
Yeah. Where they're born with sort of semi male genitalia. They haven't got a womb or a uterus, but the male. Yeah.
Oh, so it was a bloke.
Exactly. And at some point, the tackle can drop down.
What you get one or the other? Yeah.
Tackle can drop down, so this is what you're getting, and there's two of them fighting, and also
pure confusion as well thrown into
pure confusion. Also, the international, I think it's the International Boxing Committee, wouldn't let them fight in the amateur boxing, but the IOC, the Olympics, did, because obviously they've got a woke agenda. But they took it to a tribunal, or they asked them if they wanted to go to a tribunal funded by the governing body of boxing. Right. To prove that they were a woman. One of them dropped out and said they didn't want to do it. Right. And the other one got to a point.
I don't want to do it. I aren't fucking doing it. Permit me.
If you've got a pair of bollocks, try it.
Well, I saw that footage. I didn't spend any time looking at it, but I saw the footage, and that woman who looked like a bloke to me.
Well, looked like a bloke. Yeah. It had all manly features. Next week, we're releasing Huxley 8. I think it is. Is it 8? Yeah, 8. Mm. 8th Huxley. Unnatural Selection 2. so that won't be this Saturday. You're listening to this week after. Should be a good listen. Took a bit of doing. We're on with actually 9. We've recorded over an hour and a half at 9th one. Just got to finish it off. We've been doing some other stuff. So we seem to have upset. Can't really call him a comedian.
Well, we weren't even going to entertain talking about it.
No.
I thought that as well. I'm sure most people have heard that story or seen it when... Because we did the Dom Jolly thing, he put on his. Loads of people sent it to us, basically.
Yeah, somebody sent the video that I put up of thing,
right?
And he got wrong end at stick, but he when I say wrong end at stick, he said he hadn't watched it, but he knew a lot about it to say I hadn't watched it. He thinks we did a whole night about Dom Jolly. It wasn't even an hour. We recorded more afterwards. When I actually found a little more information out, me and Lorraine, did some. If somebody did a genealogy on our family, for argument's sake, and found out we were related to some witch doctor on 29 Blowpipe Terrace in Nigeria, right? Yeah, I'd be quite happy about all this, you know, finding out, you know, maybe. Maybe he was one of the first governors of the Bank of England.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not a government agent. Say you unbind. I'm not saying he's a government agent. We don't know.
No.
We don't know anything. We only did that on him because we found it interesting.
Well, I found it very interesting, me.
Well, it was because him and Sanders did that little thing, and he was doing the circuit. Talking about conspiracy theorists and how we're all stupid and dangerous and this. So I would say we are conspiracy theorists. So we're more than within our rights to talk about him. You can't just go around slagging fuck off and expect no one to look into you yourself. What I did find interesting about that fight was when he did eventually, after a two, and we didn't get involved in it at all, to be honest with you, but when he put a video mentioning it, which I was quite proud of, I thought it was quite good. And he said, I've got no interest in conspiracy theories, but he's written a book and he's doing a tour about it. So to say you've got no interest in it is not true, is it?
No, it's not true. He's obviously has got an interest in it.
For some reason, could be financial, could be whatever. Someone's told him to do it, he's decided to do it. Yeah. I don't really
understand. It doesn't look like a good career path, does it?
No, because who are you trying to get? I mean, I'm sure he's got his hardcore followers who've watched him since he did Trigger Happy TV or whatever.
Yeah.
But who are you trying to get? The same with Sanders' show and that other guy. I don't really understand it. It's just another version of Mariana Spring, isn't it, really? Because they all say that we're dangerous. I don't feel very dangerous.
No, I mean, I don't want to get bollocked by my wife and told what to do about kids.
But if we're dangerous, why can't you say that all those people who were pushing the jib jabs were dangerous when they've damaged people? There's charities all over the world about for jabbed people who've been injured. Why do they exist? Are they in our conspiracy imagination?
Yeah, of course they are. But you're making it up.
Charity's been made for it. Why is it not on the news how many charities there is all around the world for the jib jab injured?
The part that I find odd is that if you question people like us, even Slanders were doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Going back 10 years, yeah?
Before he
turncoated. And he wrote two books on mind control.
Mm.
Now everyone can change their mind. I'm not saying he shouldn't change his mind. That's his prerogative. But I've not watched enough of his podcasts or any of his podcasts since there's a line in the sand since he jumped over the fence and gone down Mariana Springs road. Mm. But is it why is so much effort being put in to dismiss all this stuff? I don't understand why. What if we bonkers, right?
Just leave us alone.
Why that concern?
We'll vanish. Nothing will happen.
Yeah. If it's that bonkers, why are people actually? Why do people, as we call it, jump over the fence?
All, you know, all these people, bonkers? Including that one. Do you remember I mentioned before that Rothschild? He's also written books about conspiracies, etc.
Good lad.
All of them, Sanders and Dom Jollet, they all say that it used to be fun, but now they're getting dangerous.
Well, I never found them funny.
No, but what I mean is that's the narrative that's been running it. Some of them were a bit fun. The Dom Jollet says the fake moon landing was a bit of fun. It's not fun because
not fun
that means
all.
Your government and NASA are aligned to the entire world. Yeah. So I don't think that's fun particularly. I think it's...
It's
dishonest.
Thing he did say, you can come to one of my talks and we'll have a conversation, we'll have an argument. Why do I want an argument? Who says I don't want an argument? Why do I need to argue with you? What's the point?
Well, if you want to do that, I'm sure he's a better arguer than I am. Because I'm not very good at arguing, and I don't really like arguing. Yeah.
I might be a better left hooker than him. but what I'm trying to say is that we can all... why do I want to argue? Why not have a sit down and a debate?
It's not what
they're because about, his answer was that we're from, I don't know, a lower grade genetic gene pool of amoeba than he is, obviously, because he's highly educated and highly bit of courage.
Thick as mince, were it? That were it.
Yeah, thick as mince, that's what we are. But I am. I know what mince is. Our dad were a butcher, and I agree. My brain density is like mince.
Mm. Well, you're not an award winning comedian like he is.
No, I forgot that. I'm not sharp as a tack.
Mm.
Like old Dom Jolly.
He's from the same school of comedy as Lenny Henry. Never said anything funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I'm not going to say that because I didn't used to mind Trigger Happy TV.
Never got into it myself.
I wasn't a massive fan, but it was moderately amusing when I was a kid. How ironic that I told that story. That I actually saw him with his phone in Prince Charles Cinema in London doing the hello thing. Anyway, it was an interesting... moment, I suppose.
Yes. Interesting moment.
Is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, yeah. Data collection, right? How much data does the system actually need? I know we're talking about... What do you mean by that is? I know, but it's everything seems to be... It is the energy harvesting, isn't it? Because how much... Like me, right, if you buy something on Amazon, you buy something on this, and you're on Netflix, you do it, how much more profiling do they actually need from that one person to know that they go on Netflix and what films they watch?
I don't. I've said this to you before because you always say that, but I don't think it's about individuals. It's about mass data collection and mass analysing of that data to a point where they could probably be in the future.
No, but I understand that. Yeah, well, that's a good answer. I understand that, but how much data do they? I know the data collection point might be the rubbish at the end of it, that they've sieved through it and just leave it in a data center. But how long before, I mean, even before computers were collecting data, weren't they? They were writing it down on pieces of paper. But how much of this stuff do they need? It is like we're in some kind of the mining energy, and data is one of the energies, and money as well is the same sort of thing, isn't it, I suppose?
Mm. Yeah, it could be. You, when you think back, do you remember hearing stories, I'm going back a long time, when the CIA and whatever used to leave certain books in libraries and then they could flag them if they got rented out?
Yeah.
Look at that to where we are now.
Yes. Yeah. It's a similar process, isn't it? And look at all them books that were written
very similar
during that Huxley stuff that we did, that were written by all them things, then reviewed in them magazines. So people would read that up your ass magazine and go, oh, yes, I should get that book. And then it's flagged flagged in the library.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's that times zillions now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Data collection.
Yeah. But what I mean is, if they're using it for control, they can't be very good. Because they must get to a point where they say, all right, we've got enough control now. Because at some point, you've got to play the game, haven't you? I said, you can do all this training, but at some point, you've got to go on pitch.
Right. Yeah. I get you. Yeah.
Well, at some point,
it might be 100 years down the line for you, who knows?
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's style.
Yeah, you're going to press that Terminator button. Yeah. All right, we're going to finish the last 20 minutes or so on Richard D. Hall trial. Ian Davis, who I think he does a bit for UK Column, and he's written a couple of books as well. He's got a new book about the, I forget what it's called now, I should have been armed with that. But Ian Davis has got a new book out about the Manchester bombing. I wouldn't mind getting him on, actually, if anybody can contact him. Speak to Johnny Vedmore, he might know how to get hold of him. I like what he's got to say about most things, actually. I've seen him on UK Column, and I've seen him on Richard's show a few years ago when he released his other book about the Divock nonsense. He's an open-minded guy and a good writer as well. It's interesting when he wrote a five-part series in his blog about the trial. Really interesting. Some of the witness testimony from, not just from Richard on the last day, but from Hibbert's wife, his daughter's carer, and one of his friends. It's said that Richard went and filmed on that street, I think it was 2018 or 2019, they didn't even know he'd filmed. So when he released that film, they didn't even know that it had been released. And then I think one of Hibbert's mates told him. But Greater Manchester Police investigated it after either somebody complained or somebody mentioned it to them that he'd been and filmed there. And they said, well, there's nothing to report. He's not done anything wrong. They went door knocking. They asked people if he'd been causing trouble, you know, just being down there annoying everybody. And they said no, but basically there were no case. There wasn't even an investigation. There were no case.
So they created this. BBC basically created this case, I suppose.
I would say so. Yes, and I'll read this. This is from Ian's stuff. So, well, this is my note. The mother didn't even know that Richard had been on the street until 2021, when Greater Manchester Police investigated any wrongdoing. So she didn't even know that he'd been on the street. So remember, part of the case is that he's released a book as Richard and a film about the Manchester. They called Night of the Bang. Mm. And they didn't even know that until they were told about it. And this is about causing harm, damage, like mental damage to Eve and to Hibbert, yeah?
Yeah, well, they saw the story that he'd caused them distress from...
Yes,
basically hounded him. Yeah. They didn't know he even existed.
Well, Manchester Police said there is no case.
His book's called The Manchester Attack, An Independent Investigation.
Yeah, I'm going to get it.
It's on Amazon for £20.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Because
no official affiliation, we don't even know. But I just thought.
I don't know. But we should support stuff like this because these independent people, journalists, who are putting themselves out there, like Richard has, doesn't mean to say that they're going to get everything right. That's not the point, is it? That you've got freedom of speech, and we've got to be able to question the people that are in power and their stories that they're bringing out, as we know. So, what they said is that it caused harm to Eve and Hibbert, right? Mentally, whatever, yeah? When they released disaster deniers in 2022, she watched it, the mother watched it, who was the main carer for Eve, with Eve. So she didn't know anything about it until that point. So she put her through watching that. And after the film, she called Richard the stalker man. And she became very upset with the girl who's got a reading age of 9 that she thought she was being stalked. This is 3 years.
Because of that documentary.
Because of that documentary. Why would he sit her through that? It's no wonder they're going to take 3 months to come back with a verdict.
Because you don't know what's going on.
So Mr. Oakley asked Burke. Burke was Eve's carer. Given that the disaster deniers episode of BBC Panorama was first broadcast in October 2022, Mr. Oakley asked Miss Burke when Eve first became aware of and presumably subsequently concerned about the actions of Mr. Hall. They agreed her mother sat with Eve during the 2022 Panorama show and called Richard D. Hall the stalker man. A close friend of Mr. Hall, and I've taken sections out of his blog, Ian's blog. Sorry, Ian, if you ever listen. A close friend of Mr. Hibbert's, Mr. Steve Lloyd, was cross-examined by Mr. Oakley. Mr. Lloyd confirmed that Mr. Hibbert had first become aware of Mr. Hall in May 2018. That date's wrong. But anyway, right. I'm not saying Ian's wrote it wrong, but I don't even think he'd released that in 2018. It keeps mixing dates up, does this Hibbert guy. Anyway, but added Mr. Hibbert was not unduly concerned at the time. Again, it's not clear how this could possibly have been the case. Mr. Lloyd disclosed that Mr. Hibbert, after 2022, was worried about the possible threat presented by Hall and his followers. That's what they like to say, don't they? Followers.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, you can see them on the hillside. Like, you know, like with horses rearing up and stuff like that. And
like, can you? Is it? No one's going to listen to that documentary and gone through a half chally through his window there.
Well, no.
I would hope not. And I would.
And also. He's not inciting anything. He's not doing Tommy Robinson nonsense, is he?
No.
He's a journalist putting a film out saying, we need to question this. Question. Not come to a conclusion. Question.
But that's what they're doing with all this fire.
Listen to what he said in court, this guy. He said he feared, Mr. Lloyd, feared that Hibbert may be stabbed and sought information and advice on how to defend himself. So Mr. Oakley asked Mr. Lloyd why Hibbert feared this level of threat, where Oakley asked, where did he get the fear from? Mr. Lloyd said the threats were made in Hall's video documentary, A Table for Two. Well, I watched that 2 or 3 times, and there's no threat on there.
No threat, no.
With the transcript in front of him, Mr. Oakley gave Mr. Lloyd as much time as he needed to specify where this threat was made. After reading the transcript, so he couldn't even remember it, right? Yeah, Mr. Lloyd said it was Hall's statement. There is more I could say about Paul Harvey, the paramedic, but we'll leave it there. Was threatening.
Eh. What a shit show.
Yeah. So on the last day, right, Richard were in the stand, and the opposing lawyer basically said to him, you haven't provided any evidence to prove the case, blah, blah, blah. And Richard said, well, I couldn't bring any evidence in.
bloody Kafkaesque, isn't it?
Not only that, right? Hibbert's written a book.
All right.
Right. Hibbert's written a book, right, about obviously the night of the Manchester bomb. And Mr. Oakley, who was Richard's lawyer, who apparently is all bought into all this stuff, so he sounds like a fantastic guy, started by asking Mrs. Gilbert, Mrs. Gilbard is Hibbert's ex, yeah, if she had read Mr. Hibbert's book prior to publication. Because bear in mind, she's saying that Richard Diehl shouldn't be allowed to write a book. He shouldn't be allowed to release a video about this because it upsets her daughter, right? Yeah. But her daughter's father's released a book,
right? Yeah. She sat down and watched a BBC documentary.
And she's watched a BBC documentary about it, which a daughter would never have heard of unless Mariana Spring hadn't gone into Richard's market stall.
I think that a lot of people wouldn't have heard of this stuff if she hadn't done that.
No. So she'd not read the book. Miss Gilbert said she had read sections of the book when asked by Mr. Oakley, confirmed she had not read or proofread a copy or had been asked to approve the publication by Mr. Hibbert. She stated that she did not want to read Hibbert's book because she did not wish to be reminded either about her former relationship with Mr. Hibbert or how Eve sustained a brain injury. All right, but you watched the Panorama film. Mr. Oakley alluded to excerpts, and he did sort of add that in there, excerpts from Mr. Hibbert's book serialised during the trial by the Daily Mail. So they're selling his book in Daily Mail. Where Hibbert discussed Eve's injuries and how she purportedly sustained them in extremely graphic detail. Mr. Oakley asked Miss Gibbert of Mr. Hibbert if he'd sought her permission to publish these details about Eve. She said, she confirmed he had not. So he actually published that this bolt went through her head and came out and her blood everywhere and all this. But how he knew that, I don't know, because he took the brunt of the blast. And he, in his official story, he said, I've heard him say it a few times, just as the bomb went off, I turned and put myself in front of Eve. I'm sorry, that ain't going to happen. I don't care if you're in SAS or you're Bruce Lee.
You wouldn't have time or the whereabouts of that thing.
No, you wouldn't have the awareness or anything to be able to do that.
Imagine speed of a bomb going off.
Yeah.
Instantaneous, isn't it?
Yeah. If you can, these are written from Substack, so Ian Davis has got a Substack, but you should read, he writes some really good blogs, actually, but you should have a read of his...
His serialisation. One thing, even at the time of the Manchester bombings, it was very suspicious. And if you remember, the bomb went off, and I think it was a week after they had another concert to raise money or whatever. And I always remember one at Gallagher Brothers, I forget which one's which, was singing on stage on his own in a massive orange coat.
Yeah, that'd be that youngest one.
Yeah, which is the only colour that's 33 in numerology. But I always remember thinking, it's odd that, I'm pretty sure it was 1 week later, might have been two, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was a week, and everyone's just there drinking beer, you know, all crowd, it was like Glastonbury. That level, if something like that happens and kids get killed, the grief is too deep, I think, to be doing things like that.
I mean, I can't remember how long afterwards it was. I think it was a bit longer than a week, but it was quite soon after. Yeah.
And then also everyone started getting bee tattoos. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, there's bees all over Manchester now. If you go into Manchester, there's bees all over.
But they turned it into a thing, didn't they? Loads of people getting tattoos and, you know, it's about as much use as a candle at vigil, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which seems to be another thing that happens a lot.
I mean, just to be able to question what went on, I mean, it's a bit like that thing that's happened last week with them three girls.
Mm.
The fact that he acted for the BBC and was an actor, and apparently that's kickstarted this. It's like the World War One, isn't it, where you think the Archduke got shot and that's what's caused World War One. No, it's not. That didn't cause World War One. It might cause a bit of trouble, but it didn't cause World War One, did it? No.
Well, this whether what happened with those three girls or whatever. I know one of them was called B.B. King, which pricks me ears up, but it was a blues singer. But I've not even looked at it to fight. No. I don't know anything about it. I know that thing about
neither do I. To comment on it,
yeah. And even the riots. The one thing I will say about the riots, and I did ask this to my mate at work. The brief bit I have seen, it seems to, I'm sure there is some form of riot going on, but it seems to be greatly exaggerated to me. And I mentioned this, and I've only looked at it very, very briefly. Mentioned it at work. So I said, yeah, they just keep showing the same clips over and over again. But what they're telling you is that all of England's turned into a riot zone and everyone's going mental.
That's well, it says England's in flames.
Yeah. That's what he says. So he's saying England's in flames. But yet, I haven't seen anything. And they keep showing the same clips over and over again. And it reminds you of the Russian-Ukraine war, the only war that's got no war footage. There's more war footage of fucking World War One. Yeah. I didn't have any cameras. Except for that, when they show those guys in them trenches, there's like three of them. There's no armor. So
that one where they're climbing out a trench, that guy gets shot and he slides down trench. That is a staged, that was done in, well, whether it was studio or outside, it was done as a staged event, as a propaganda film. And they show that as though it's real.
But the interview those, do you remember, I hadn't watched it for ages, but they were interviewing those guys down trenches, and all it ever showed was some Ukraine guy loading a rocket launcher and firing it into a field.
Saw it the other day, Chris. It were on the other day.
Again,
same thing.
Same one.
The irony is that I saw on some of these guys that were going around throwing half Charlies through windows and stuff, they had the Russian Azimov battalion flag.
Right. I mean, it's all orchestrated as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
yeah, well, we're going to come into that in part two. We'll talk about the riots in part two. But just to finish off the trial that Richard's had to go through, I don't know how everybody thinks on here, but look, there's a lot of evidence to warrant asking why wasn't there enough damage in that, regardless of which side of fence you're on, let's just stay in middle for want of a better place to be. They showed a picture apparently in court, and I've seen the picture. Ian had it on his blog, and it showed a picture that just after the bomb had gone off, all the, you know, the signage with the lights behind it, all that were still intact. All the lights were on, right? If a massive, I forget what type of bomb it was, had gone off.
It was a nail bomb, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a certain type of thing that how it blew up. Anyway, if that had gone off, there wouldn't have been any light.
No.
The thing to get for people to get their head around, and I'm not saying the listeners, but for people to get their head around, is why would a government stage an event like that? That I mean, for people like us, we accept that governments stage events like this, right? Regardless of the size of it, they can get away with it. That doesn't mean to say they don't knock people off either.
No.
I mean, look what they've just done over the last several years. We're just speaking about them knocking people off.
I don't believe in Muslim terrorists. I really don't. All these years of terrorists. What I mean is, I don't believe that lone terrorist who's been brainwashed by some priest. No. I don't believe it exists, that Muslim extremist. And I think a lot of Muslims believe it.
Oh, you mean the narrative? The narrative.
I think a lot of them, they believe it exists, that narrative of these of Muslim terrorists. Just all they want to do is strap a bomb belt on and run into a building. You know, I it's only my opinion. I might be wrong. I don't believe it exists. It's like the lone shooter. Why do they always have to have a dossier left at home of what they're going to do? And,
and not only that, they're always known
over and over again.
But they're always known to security forces. Like the guy that in Southport the other day was known to MI5, apparently.
What, 16-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
But it's the same playbook going right back to, like, you know, JFK.
Saran Saran and all these others, yeah.
It's the same one. They've just put Muslims in it instead, and they shout out Allah Akbar before they do it. I mean, fuck off. I'm not buying it, I'm sorry. And I'll tell you why I'm not buying it, because I've said this before. I saw the transition. And funnily enough, it was in the film True Lies when it switched from Russia to a greasy-haired Arab with loads of grenades tied around him. True Lies, the baddie. I remember seeing it at cinema thinking, that's weird. I've never seen an Arab with loads of grenades around him as a baddie. It's usually a Russian.
That were Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, they switched it before Al-Qaeda, though.
The Hollywood flip-flop.
They were getting us ready for the 20 years of Muslim terrorism.
Yeah.
That were going to happen in 2000.
Yeah. And now look at the odd state of events that's happening now, where they're now saying, anyway, just Keir Starmer's coming and he's going to clamp down. But anyway, okay, we'll call it a day there.
I'll just finish on it. I ain't afraid of any Muslim terrorists. I'm afraid of what that fucking knobhead's going to do next.
Keir Starmer.
Yeah. We always said he was going to be a fascist leader. We were going to bring him in as the, you know. Someone sent me a video on Instagram of him saying how they should go harder on the lockdowns, etc. We always knew what he was going to get put in place for.
Mm. Yeah.
His nasally voice. He's got that annoying nasally voice. Isn't it funny, though? They had all this ready for when these riots happened.
Yes. They're
going to bring in this new stuff because of the riots.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss that in part two. Hope you can join us there. Yeah. If you can't, we'll see you next time.
But.
Yeah, but.